Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat, and we are so excited about celebrating 50 years today. 50 years today, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. marched in 1963 on August the 28th and gave a prophetic word, a apostolic word, a foundational word, an original word that should have been walked out, but began to shift this nation, saying, I have a vision. It was like Joseph, right?
Amazing.
I have a dream. And in the I have a dream speech, we're going to be talking about him today and celebrating Dr. King and just kind of, you know, are things any different today? Have they changed? And obviously, we're just beginning a conversation. And it's pretty interesting because, you know, here we are in America right now with an African-American president, you know, President Barack Obama, which is pretty cool when you think about the context of how few presidents we've had. Mm-hmm. And that where the African-American was thought of at one point, and now in the generations past, mm-hmm. to where now that evil mindset of whatever happened in the past generations, you know, God dealt with that and is right. dealing with it, and realizes that we have an African-American president. That's so cool.
Yeah.
That is just, that is just so much to that. And at the same time, when you think about, and this is what God calls us to do. God calls us to pray for our leaders so that we'll have a peaceful life. And in the context of that, you might not agree with somebody's politics. You might not agree. For example, a child might not agree with their parents' direction of the family, but God tells that child, if your parents are good parents, honor them.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
He says, honor your parents so you'll have a long life.
All right. Not if they're perfect.
Yeah, well, not perfect. And that goes out everywhere, folks, you know, as a church, that we are to honor our president. And by the way, in America, you know, when you think about everybody in Washington, D.C., we sent them there. So why would we not honor our own choices?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a representative government. But you never go wrong in honoring God and honoring the authority that's established. And in the context of that, when you think about when President Barack Obama was elected president, and they had the, I believe it was in Chicago, they had a big thing for him in Chicago and another cause or a stadium or something, mm-hmm. also. But and some people said, you know, why is such a big deal? It was a big deal because it was Dr. King's dream. It was a lot of people's dream, but it's what Dr. King formulated and articulated and gave his life for,
mm-hmm.
you know, for our country. He said, I'm just holding to you what's on the paper.
Right.
I just love that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's time for Americans who love God and love America to stand up and say, listen, it's not wrong to hold the church to what's written in the Bible, and it's not wrong to hold America and our government to what's written in the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
that all men are created equal. And Dr. King's dream was a colorblind dream. He could see all of us getting along, and that a man would no longer be judged by the color of his skin. And that was, you know, today, although it's still present in different places or whatever, it was so present at the time he was given this. For him to say that is just right in the face of all those folks who really actually thought that they were intelligent because of the pigment of their skin. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a reality. You know, I've always been naive in those right. a lot of different areas. Is that really how you think? Can you talk to me about it a little bit?
Right.
And so you're more intelligent because, you know.
Right.
But, and it's a spirit, obviously. It's a demonic spirit when somebody lifts themselves up over somebody for any reason whatsoever versus humbling ourselves before God and man. It's pride.
Mm-hmm.
And pride looks for someone to exalt itself over. And eventually it tries to exalt itself over God.
Right.
And Satan tried that, right?
Oh, yeah.
He said, I will, and boom, all this explosion and lightning yeah. came down, and he ended up on the earth, and he's going, what is that? You know, I was talking about lifting myself up, and I just got cast down. And so here we are. We're 50 years to the day. 50 years to the day when, and you're going to be able to see this on the VFN Torch. We're going to have even video for you of Dr. King giving the speech. And it's just, you know, obviously, you know, for those who are believers, you're going to see, you'll see Dr. King again. Because for us, you know, it's appointed once to die, then the judgment. I mean, then we go and live with God forever in heaven. And I really believe that Dr. King, you know, a minister of the gospel and a man who gave his life, he laid down his life. Greater love hath no man than he laid down his life for his friend. Well, you have Gandhi, you know, Gandhi laid down his life, but he laid his down his life not as a Christian, not as a Christ follower.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so that was a beautiful sacrifice, but the wrong outcome.
Right.
Well, Dr. King, you know, laid down his life for Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And he marched under, he was a disciple of Jesus. He actually made people sign the commitment card, which we'll talk about. They said, you have to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You have to be a disciple of Jesus Christ for you to even be walking with me,
mm-hmm.
which I totally, totally love that. But you've got to, we're just going to focus on Dr. King. Let's just begin the talk. I just love to hear Dr. King give that speech.
Mm.
And if you don't know it, 50 years ago in this season, back in 1963, Dr. King went to the mall as an invited speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And in when he showed up, they didn't realize that they invited David to come. You know, Saul didn't realize they invited David to go speak.
I know, that's right.
And they didn't realize, you know, that he didn't write this just for them, because this was part of him. This was inside of him. And it is amazing when you hear the speech. It's just a beautiful thing. And so many people have taken these words.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what they've done to them, but these are the most beautiful words in his ministry. And I see him as an apostle. You know, I see him as an apostle that led a nation to what's written on the paper. You know?
That's right.
I'm just trying to help you realize your dreams that you wrote about a few years ago. I'm just holding you to what's on the paper. And when I was looking at this article with USA Today, I'm talking about Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., when he was invited in 1963 to come speak at a gathering that was taking place right there, all the nation was leaning forward, all the channels began to take on and focus their attention there. And he was a guest speaker that's going to be speaking on August the 28th of 1963. And in that moment, you know, and I just want to encourage you that allow God to do a work in you. Allow a season of proofing. Allow God to hone you and shape you for an instrument. I mean, how can the potter, how can the clay say to the potter, why is it taking you so long to make me this way? And I was pretty good before you broke me to pieces and began to make me back again. But this is a man that's been broken and has been amongst the broken people that God began to formulate and put together, from starting from Ebenezer Church in Georgia, raised by Daddy King, you know, a man of God. And we had a privilege of having somebody write an article for us who walked with Daddy King as well in Atlanta. And God just molded him.
Mm.
He's just a man. You think about Elijah. Elijah was just a man. That's the whole thing. Everybody's looking for, you know, some Messiah. The Messiah has already come already. And next time he comes, it's too late if you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life.
Mm-hmm.
But now the Messiah, if you will accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah, he will come dwell with you. And just like Dr. King, you can walk through huge adversity and begin to stand up for what's right. I mean, it's like 50 years ago, August the 28th, 1963, that Dr. King was giving his I Got a Dream speech. amazing when you think about it. I believe the Freedom Riders had already began or about to begin to ride, and just horrific things are taking place. You can imagine the threat.
A continual threat. I mean, you have your house that's being, you know, bombs, I guess, were thrown into his home, and the attacks. You're talking about speaking truth to power. I mean, it's a great courage during a time like that.
Well, and the NSA, they talk about NSA today. Well, he had his own personal NSA attacking him and documenting everything. And recording everything he was doing. And a lot of people say, well, you know, this happened, that happened. Hey, if you got everybody trying to set you up, there's a chance you might trip.
Hello?
There's a chance you might trip. And in that, you have to consider everything. And this man, I mean, I just can't help it. In my spirit, you know, I've always felt, you know, and his niece, you know, Pastor Avita King, Reverend Avita King. You know, and sometimes, you know, you watch and you think, and you know, and people say, well, you know, if you just would have, and it's like, yeah, I know, but all I got to tell you is in my spirit, I look forward to the day that I get to meet with Dr. King and just listen to him and talk to him and just, you know, the evilness of taking his life. And so many people say, well, it's over because LBJ signed something. It's like, you know, it's not over. It isn't over when you kill the leader of, when you kill an apostle, you know, it's not over. You know, it's just a momentary pause. Until we can get things going in the right direction. And normally what happens is, you know, a lot of the adversaries and people who will have other motives, who saw how God lifted someone up and how God protected someone and how they got the voice of the nation, they begin to ride on the coattails of those who paid the price.
Right.
But this man paid the price.
Sure did. Right.
It's different when your face is on the poster or the mugshot. You know, it's different. And all you can do when those folks show up is just go, is there something I can get for you?
Right.
Let me get out of my chair, you know, and just kind of lean forward and say, can I just listen to you for a little bit to see? I mean, just think about it. And I hear a lot of people, it's like, don't you understand? This is for our country, for our nation, for the twistedness of one-fifth of a person and how we justified for so long going against our very own Declaration of Independence and Constitution that very said that you know, all of our rights come from God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They were all created equal. And yet we walked out a contradiction that was ridiculous until, you know, somebody said, you know, I'm just tired. I'm not going to sit in the back of the, do you know how, this is back today, they have air conditioned buses and they don't have these diesel engines blowing smoke all over the place, but back then all the windows were open, and if you sat in the back of the bus, you pretty well got the congested failure of all the things blowing in all the windows, and it's just, you know, and somebody decides to bloom a rose on the front seat of the bus. Rosa Parks,
that's right,
who just got a statue recently put in the White House, which I think is so cool. There's so many contradictions to think. This is like so many cool things are taking place. At the same time, so many what? He's right. Like, but you don't I mean, realize, you know, when you're watching, don't just throw everything out. Realize I see a scale being balanced. I see a just God beginning to do some things that are beautiful, but I also see people trying to ride the coattails of those who truly labored and worked and meant what they said what they meant and walked out what they said, and in their day-to-day life, they lived amongst the words that they proclaimed, willing to die for their words,
And you can't mimic an original, and what Dr. King did was all about unity and bringing people together. And you see some people that are trying to take his legacy and make it about division and separating people. And that wasn't Dr. King's vision to be able to bring.
Yeah, it wasn't his vision, and what he was saying wasn't true. But nobody's going to go out and speak a word that they laid on their life for. I mean, if I'm going to die for this, if I'm willing to die for this message,
that's right.
Guaranteed. I studied my notes.
Mm.
I looked at the precepts.
Yeah.
I thought about what I was saying.
I've counted the costs.
And I'm not going to bring up your vision.
Mm.
I'm going to bring up the vision God's put in my heart. If I'm going to die for this,
hello.
I'm going to make sure, because I'm going to go see God. If this cost me my life, and every day he knew it could cost him his life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every single day there was enough people lined up. Enough people lined up to be able to take his life.
Mm-hmm.
And so to think that he did not mean what he said, and all these people trying to underwrite and subtitle his, it's like, you can't subtitle another man's life.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-mm.
I mean, he was not speaking just a sporadic dream. I mean, look, I mean, he's clear.
Yeah.
He's clear. The spoken word, he spoke out his dream. You know, and I just admire him, and I'm disheartened that he didn't continue to walk with us here. But I'm excited about walking with him in eternity.
No doubt, no doubt. When you look at everything that he's done, when you look at throughout history, I mean, this is a man that now he has they built this huge, awesome monument to him. I believe it's on the Washington Mall, and someone inscribed, they put a quote on the side of this monument. It's huge. I don't know the exact dimensions, but it's really, really nice. They put some quote on there that was not something he said, and it just did not sound like Dr. King. It just kind of actually sounded proud, you know, a prideful statement.
Mm-hmm.
And some people got together and said, listen, this is not what Dr. King would have said of himself. So I'm a drum beat for something. And they're actually scraping it off now.
Off.
Yeah, I mean, they're redoing it because it wasn't honoring of him. It wasn't indicative of the type of man that he was.
Wow, somebody took advantage.
Exactly.
But, you know.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's happening. And you were saying something earlier in the beginning of this segment that I think is so important. It's like, you know, you were saying that I just wanted to be in his presence and just listen to, you know, his heart. But what's missing a lot in this generation is that they don't know how to honor greatness. They don't recognize when you're in the presence of somebody that's great, that's
right,
paid the price for something. You don't do a lot of talking. You just listen right now.
Yeah.
You know, this person has paid the price. This person has been willing to lay their life down. And that's what we can do with honor,
mm-hmm,
you know, and it's great that our nation is recognizing Dr. King, but we need to stay true to his vision and stay true to what the Lord gave him. And
we believe the Lord has given him, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because you think about it, I mean, up until that point, you're looking at great persecution, great injustices. And it took someone to be able to stand up, do the right thing, and lead a people towards unity, not towards division. And at any moment, this thing could have been lost. I mean, this was a patient, patient move. They had strategy. They had planned. I mean, they had commitment cards that they had to fill out, which was, you know, they pledged that they weren't going to respond back in violence. This was a peaceful
way to do
this.
If you wanted to be able to walk with Dr. King, and you think about it too, that, you know, we're talking about the mall and what happened there in the context of that, that so many people, and you just wanted to, because it's such a moment, and, you know, you could, it was obviously an orchestrated moment by God to a nation.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
Are all forms of religion banned from public school organizations? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I work for Head Start, and they have recently started an inclusion policy stating that we're not allowed to address like religious holidays or, you know, even birthdays in the class. But now they're taking it over to the staff also. If we can't do it for our parents and their kids, and I was wondering if that's constitutional.
We need to get that inclusion policy changed, and we need to get a copy of that inclusion policy sent over to our office right away to look at. That's an overreaction by Head Start. It's a religious cleansing of sorts. First of all, students have the rights of religious expression in the schools, and this famous case that set that standard said it's neither teachers nor students surrender their rights to freedom of speech at the schoolhouse gate. Now, the teacher can't lead a religious exercise. If you could send the inclusion policy into the ACLJ offices or national headquarters, we'll take a look at that right away.
Stay informed on critical issues by visiting us online at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
If you have not yet began to fellowship with believers who believe the Word of God, who have a deep passion to hear the voice of God and obey the Lord, who want to see the Great Commission not be the Great Suggestion, who want to be able to see the kingdom of our Lord come on earth as it is in heaven, who sees the church as the family of God that we are and the expectation of God that he has of us to increase the size of his family, his kingdom. If you want to be a part of the dream, if you want to be a part of reading a Bible and seeing and walking out what you read, if you want to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer and merely deceived, I encourage you, if you're in the Gulf Coast region, join us at the VFN Dream Center. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org or join us as one of our e-members, our virtual members online. Go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Listen, it is time to be connected to a Rhema word. It is time. We need a now word to be able to step out in faith and see the glory of God. Listen, there's a lot of glory to share. And God wants to manifest his glory in your life. That's vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out. And in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
But this message was already inside of his heart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had this dream. That's what drove him. It's time to get a dream for a nation, like Dr. King talks about, like the pledge card that John was talking about and what we've talked about on VFN Radio, which basically has the 10 commitments of a believer, really, to be able to walk amongst each other in this nation and stand up for what's right. But in 1963, August the 28th, here we are just talking about, as we're coming to the 50 years, it's like the jubilee of this. When you think about it, 50 years later, where many felt threatened by Dr. King being there. And today, there's an African-American president in the White House, up the street from the mall, instead of standing in the mall saying, I have a dream.
Mm-hmm.
The dream, in some context of that, it's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge having an African-American president in the context of what he was saying there.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can say part of that dream is that America made a decision. And in America, you know, all races had to make the decision to put him there. There's not enough African American people in America that could have voted to put them there, which means, you know, many people of all races voted to vote the current president into office there. And there's many things, you can think a lot of things about politics, and read your Bible, you can see a lot of different kings that went a lot of different ways, but you can't negate the fact that he's the first African American president. It is 50 years. Got 50 years. There's the number of Jubilee. I mean, let's just kind of tap in and listen here. And you're gonna be able to see this on the VFN Torch. But I want you to hear Dr. King giving the speech as the whole mall is just filled with people who showed up for one thing and found out they found a God thing. Listen up.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Yeah. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
We're talking about and just beginning just to soak on what happened 50 years ago, August 28th. Mm-hmm. And when Dr. King, if you missed it, we just heard part of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s speech, which we refer to as I Have a Dream speech. But you have to understand the context, because he's talking about, and that Alabama where the evil, and it's like, why would he say that? Well, I got to tell you, let me tell you why he said that. There was a governor that was elected 7 months prior to that, in January the 14th, 1963. And he was a deep racist. He is actually considered, and according to Wikipedia, as you're sitting here reading, that he served two consecutive terms, and he's the longest. They say Wallace was the third longest governor tenured post-constitutional U.S. days served in history, 5,848 days. We let this man rule as a governor of Alabama. And so when Dr. King's talking about Alabama, and then he talks about Mississippi.
Oh.
You have to understand, he is confronting from the capital of the nation, from the gates of America, the gates of the city, the gates of the nation. And he's saying, this is my dream. And he begins to talk about, you know, this is the beginning of his electoral span of Wallace, who was openly blocking anybody of color from coming into the
education.
Well, everything. Everything. And it's just the devil had a hold of this man. And say what you want to, the devil had a hold of this man.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And but yet, when Dr. King is speaking in Washington, he is speaking out towards Alabama 7 months later after his election. And this guy was so adamant that he would just publicly say, this is which way this state is going, and this is what we're actually doing. And Dr. King saying, listen, it's written. He says, this is my dream. My dream is deeply rooted in the American dream. First of all, we should understand that when you have people like George Wallace doing what he was doing, that is not the American dream. That was George Wallace's dream.
Right.
And if we'll read the Declaration of Independence, if we'll read the United States Constitution, like Dr. King was talking about, he was quoting from the original Founding Fathers documents, and he's saying, listen, this is the dream. My dream is deeply rooted in the American dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, mind you, and the pursuit of happiness. Dr. King was on the right side of history. He was on the right side with God, and he was on the right side of the American dream. George Wallace and the crew that was doing the things that we may talk about a little bit later, they were on the devil's side.
Mm-hmm.
They were actually not in the America. That's not the American dream. That's the American nightmare. That's the scars of our history. that fought against the realities of the dream of our founding fathers when they wrote this document, the Declaration of Independence, when they were writing to the king. They said, listen, we don't want this kind of stuff. And then things progressed over time. But they just kept reelecting and reelecting and reelecting. And we have to understand, when we're celebrating 50 years later with Dr. King, that if we allowed somebody like George Wallace to stay in office for 5,848 days in the office with that kind of mindset, with the context of Dr. King's life being taken in Tennessee, with Robert Kennedy's life and John Kennedy's life being taken in the 60s because they're standing up. Let me tell you something. Forgive me if I'm a little squeamish, if I'm a person of color. I don't believe everything until I see. I want to see you walk this out. And if we are equal, what's the big deal about me being your boss?
Mm-hmm.
Or me being your president? Or me being your governor? Or me being your sheriff? It's not a big deal. We're all the same. We're all created. I'm talking about Christians. Here, listen. We're all created the same image and the likeness of God.
Mm-hmm.
When you see the symbolism, despite the policies of our current president and the values that seem to be kind of strange and dark in regards to things of God, you got to go back in regards to look what the justice that was served. When he rode that train, the same train that Abraham Lincoln, President Lincoln, rode all the way from Illinois to the White House, my goodness, don't you understand? He's talking about the Emancipation Proclamation. He's talking about what was signed and what he fought for and the executive order that was put into place. When he goes down to Mississippi and he goes to the university and he says, this is what I want to be a part of my acceptance into the presidency, there's something happening there. Why? Because that's where Emmett Till was beaten, brutalized, and just because of the color of his skin, like Dr. King was talking about. You got to be careful, because it looks like to me that in so many ways, justice is being served on America. Justice is being served. Remember this, Nebuchadnezzar was God's servant. Mm-hmm. And the reason why Nebuchadnezzar became the boss, the leader over God's people, is because of what God's people did. But he was designed by God to be in a place to serve a role in the eternity of God for God's purposes. And I can't help but just see, and it's just amazing how blind. I was listening to somebody talk about, you know, Jeremiah, and then when a nation can no longer see, when a church, God's people can no longer see, and they can no longer hear, brace yourself, it's going to be bad.
Hmm.
And it's like, can't you see? Can't you see the fulfillment of so much injustice that's been taking place? Coming back to the scales are being balanced in an area is like, okay, let's walk this thing out. And then somebody says, well, this person's so dogmatic. Well, excuse me, if I wouldn't have spoke up, I could have been like Emmett Till. But then again, you got people prostituting the horrific incident that took place with Emmett Till in Mississippi and comparing it to something that is nothing. And this man, you know, bless his, I can only imagine how God is obtaining all of this and, you know, in receiving on this nation.
Mm.
But if anything, church, we should be walking in humility. I'm seeing things posted on Facebook and different things like this, and you know, it says John 3:16 when it talks about the person, you know, and that Jesus Christ is my Lord.
Mm.
And then because of all the laziness and the lethargicness and the refusal to look at our history, you speak out as if you say you know our history when you don't know our history. And our history, 80% of this pie called the life of America, it's been repressive to the African American person.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Think about this.
If you haven't seen R.A. Dickey, R.A. Dickey is on the VFN TV blog. And John had a chance. Some of you caught this on Monday. He had a chance with Isaiah and Elijah, who are baseball fans, the New York Mets, to be able to spend some moments with him. And his testimony now is available, John.
I saw that.
Isn't that cool?
Yes. Yes, I saw that.
And tell us what happened there.
Well, it's pretty cool. You know, R.A. Dickey is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has a tremendous testimony. I mean, what God has done in his life is just absolutely amazing. He wrote a new book. You can get it, I'm sure, in all the bookstores. It has a very long title, but you can go to VFNTV.com. But
well, it's called R.A. Dickey, Wherever I Wind Up.
Yes, there's a subtitle there.
Yeah. And subtitle.
Yeah. But it's pretty cool, you know, because he's been through so many trials and so many things in his life.
Haven't we all?
Yeah, I know. But it's cool when you give God credit, you know.
Yes,
when
it
you
is. Don't
when you arrive to a place of prominence, it's when you come to a place of stage, when you come to a place when the whole world, you know, is looking at you, you don't pound your chest and say it was me, my hard work or what I've done, but you give glory to the Lord. And that's what he's done. I mean, the book is very therapeutic because you just see just the trials of any ordinary man. But we had a chance to go see him at the Yogi Berra Stadium. You know, Yogi Berra lives close out here, one of the famous Yankee players of all time. And he was doing a book signing, and we had the chance. You know, my son, we happened to be in Philadelphia not too long ago, and we're standing outside of the Liberty Bell. And we're waiting to get on in, and my son happens to recognize another baseball player. And I'm saying, son, Elijah, it is hot out here. There's no way that this player is out here. Long story short, him and his mom walk up to the player, and it winds up being Bobby Parnell, pitcher for the New York Mets. And so he had to get a chance to get an autograph, and that was a pretty cool experience. And when he walked away, you know, I always like to talk about Christ and talk about the Lord and just let people know about the love of God. And when we left, I said, you know, we didn't even talk to Bobby about the Lord or anything. I said, you know, if we ever get a chance again to speak to someone on a baseball team or someone that maybe has prominence, then we're going to share with them the most important thing in our life. And so here we go, getting ready to see R.A. Dickey. And there was such a huge response to seeing him. I mean, people were showing up all over the place. They were sold out. And we decided that, you know, everyone's getting autographs. We wanted to bless R.A. Dickey with a ball that says iabide.org.
You know, I'm looking at it right now.
I mean, think about it. He's a believer, and we wanted to bless him with the opportunity. Hey, listen, you know, this is awesome. You need to abide with the Lord, and I'm sure he is. But we wanted to encourage him with that. And so we walk up to him, introduce ourselves, and say, hey, R.A., we have this awesome ball we want to give you. We know that you're a believer. And I had a chance to encourage him and say, listen, you know, this is your season. This is your time. God's putting you on a platform. You know, share the gospel. And he said, thank you. He asked me to continue to pray for him. But I said, I want to give you this gift about abiding and spending time with the Lord. He looked at it. I believe his wife was sitting right next to him, and she was really surprised. She's like, oh, my goodness, you know, I guess no one does that. And he said, wow, I'm definitely going to take a look at it. He was pretty touched by it. And so he was willing to take a picture with us. And it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome when you can spend time with the Lord and read his word and have the opportunity to hear God for yourself. That's one of the inheritance that the son and the daughter of God have, that God wants to have a personal relationship with you, that there is no in-between, that there isn't anyone that has to stand between you and God. You know, think about it. Think about it. You may never have access with some of the most powerful men and women of the world. You may never, ever get a chance to meet or talk, but you have access with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when you sit down and abide with God and read his word. And I encourage you, if you don't have a plan, if you don't know where to start, you know, oftentimes people that they want to read the Word of God, you know, but they don't know where to start. They don't know what plan, what to follow. Let me tell you, you can get a simple plan that gets you started at iabide.org. That's the letter I and the word abide, ABIDE.org. And you can just begin. It's a simple plan. But let me tell you, I encourage you to do it for 6 weeks. Make a commitment. Say, you know what? I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to hear God for myself. And I promise you, he'll speak back to you through his word.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And the people. When you talk about the Civil Rights Act, that just happened. Mm-hmm. It just happened. And it happened because of pain. It didn't happen because, hey, we've come to this reality and this revelation that we have, you know, it's just like, hey, we're being forced to do what's right. Mm-hmm. Right. And all of a sudden, people start moving in what's right. And they go, look what we did. It's like, no, look what people had to force you to do. Look, people had to see. They had to see on the videos. They had to see, you know, Megger Evers' mother say, you know what? I want people to see what was done.
Right.
I want people to see what was done. I want them, when they had to see, America had to see what was being done to the injustices with the water hose spraying human beings with dogs at our fellow citizens. And when they saw these things, that's when they begin to see, and this is what happens. You can be all whatever you want to be, what you want to, but God's going to, you know, the light's going to shine on that puppy. The light's going to shine on it, and a day of justice is going to come. And when it comes, really, all you can do is just say, this is right.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you can say, this is right. And there would be a huge injustice, and we just got to humble ourselves as the church, every one of us. You know, and the church is a bouquet of beautiful, all multicolor, multiracial. I mean, it's all of us. Anybody that makes Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives, and then he makes us a new nation, a new ethnos, in Christ, which, by the way, Jesus Christ is not a white man.
Right.
He's a Jew. And understanding this, that it's so important, I really believe that the scales are being balanced. The scales are being balanced, and you sit back and you wait, you say this, you're feeling what's right in your heart, and you're waiting for somebody else to say it. And the truth is, they're not going to say it. And then you say it, and they judge you for saying it. But the truth is, if you didn't say it, nobody's going to say it. So the Spirit that's on them is trying to prevent it from being said.
Wow.
But this is the truth. This is the truth that, you know, when you heard Derek Grice on VFN Radio, you know, been there in the church for one particular church gathering for 5 years, and second row back, third row back. I mean, he's not a small man.
Not at all.
A 6'5", 180,
mm.
380. I don't know. I don't
280.
Know.
At least 280.
He's a big man. And worshiping God, raising his hands to the Lord, worshiping side by side with the believers that are there. And he's African American, and there's other, I guess, African Americans there, but predominantly, you know, more so white Americans that are there. And so he's walking in the parking lot of the very same church. Been there 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
5 years. 5 years. And pacing the parking lot praying. Can you believe that? Christians praying.
Wow, imagine that.
Pondering his life and what's going on and all that. And the one he sits beside for 5 years, right beside now, I'm not talking about somebody in this thing, sits beside for 5 years. Matter of fact, find that interview. I want you to find that interview. And she calls the police on this man in her parking lot saying somebody's looking in our cars. And then you hear Christians today say, I can't believe the president said what he said when he says, listen, you know, prior to me becoming a senator, I heard doors lock and I heard these things happen. And it's like, let's just get real. That just it's happening every day in the context of it. Granted, you know, there's a lot of folks that are doing negative things in the context of their culture, and they're bringing I believe Dr. King would rebuke those individuals who are saying, listen, you are hurting the cause, brother. You need to straighten up. You need to exercise these rights that we fought for. We didn't pay this huge price. My life was not given so that you don't get out and become productive and walk hand in hand and get your character right. Because I told you, and even my own kids, that would be judged not on the color of their skin, but the content of their character. And I say, that's any color of any skin anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That it's character that matters. It's character that matters. And I just want, you know, we're just talking today about, you know, 50 years ago, August 28th, that Dr. King gave a speech that's entitled, quite often now, I Have a Dream speech. And if you missed it, we played part of the speech, but a powerful, powerful, I believe, an apostle, one that began to lead a nation to what's written on the paper. We're talking about, you know, it's 50 years later since Dr. King gave this speech, I Have a Dream speech in Washington, D.C. And I was talking about Emmett Till in regards to when he went down to help organize and help with the vote. I believe it was in Harvard, not sure. But he heard about the cause and he wanted to go down and begin to help out with. And that's the reason why we just had yesterday, we're talking about the 15th Amendment to the Constitution, because it says not only that, but the Congress has the right to enforce it. So he's going to participate in that. But in regards to the mother wanting everybody to know, that actually was Emmett Till. Emmett Till, when you hear Dr. King talk about an oasis, I mean, think of, oh my goodness, an oasis. An oasis. He calls Mississippi, that he sees his dream is that it will be an oasis, you know, of good things. And you're thinking, my goodness, to be transformed into an oasis of justice.
Wow.
And this is where, you know, Mecca Evers was shot, but it's also where the beginning of the whole civil rights movement really kind of began, you know, history kind of says, where, you know, Emmett Till had a stuttering situation. His mother told him when you begin to stutter, he'd get nervous, he would begin to stutter. And so she told him to whistle. If you whistle, that kind of helps you get through the thing. And so he was in some store reportedly, and I'm doing my best recall here. And he got nervous in the store, so he began to whistle. And he's an African-American. And these white men in the store began to accuse him of whistling at a white girl. And so they began to provoke him and question him, you know, saying, you know, are you having any interracial relationships with white women? And he just wouldn't answer them. You know, either if you're a stutterer, like, I mean, you're really nervous now because you can't. And the last thing you want, you know, there's nothing, you know. And they began to beat him. They beat him so bad they broke his cheekbones in. They busted his cheek. This is a man that was in a store, and he was just shopping in a store, and he stuttered, and his mother told him to whistle if he got nervous. And now this racist spirit, this evil devil, that's got this is what Dr. King says. And I believe that Mississippi can be transformed into an oasis of justice. And this is what just happened there. This is what just happened there. And they beat him. And they tried to get, he said, you tell us. And he, you know, he just didn't communicate to them. And he didn't just throw in the towel either, by the way. This is another man to be admired and just go, dude. What was inside of Emmett Till that stood with all of that coming against him to the end? And then they took him out, reportedly, and they beat him. They beat him beyond recognition, breaking his cheekbones in, his face in. They took a barbed wire and wrapped it around his neck and choked him. They took a cotton mill gin fan, I believe it was. But it had to do, listen, it tied to the cotton industry, which is a whole other thing. Maybe we'll talk about in the extra hour. And they took it, and they, after killing him, they threw his body, and the weight of that fan, cotton mill fan, mind you, threw him into the river where fishermen would find him 2 weeks later. And when they finally found him, and they were going to send his body back to his mother, they put lime in the casket. So by the time the casket got there, then the lime was going to destroy the evidence, because the lime begins to deteriorate the body, begins to speed up the process, reportedly. That's what it does. So that when the mother sees the body, that Emmett's head came off of the body. Mm. He was just beat. And she was willing to say, I want America to see this. I want America to see what they've done to my son. What they've done to my son. And when she allowed that open casket, when she allowed America to see what had happened, the true America, the America that Dr. King talks about, began to relate to what he was saying, and this is wrong. This is, I mean, that's beyond wrong. I mean, there, that is satanic. I'm not going to try to go there and describe it. And then things begin to rise up. But look what happened to Emmett Till. And this is the place he's saying be transformed to an oasis of justice. But then you look at this, the two guys were tried in the court system right there, and they let them off. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today. I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN Torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN Torch. You got to go there. You get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch. John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And yes, everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24/7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, some any prophetic words that are coming out. You know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFNTV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com.